So on the phone this morning, we have the unique opportunity to speak to an individual who not only is a leader in our community, has been a friend of the show for a number of years, but also suffered from the virus itself, Senator James Skoufis. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on, and good morning to everyone else.
Skoufis, how you been?
Hey, I'm doing okay now. I'm back to normal, but I had a rough go at it for about a week and a half. But I'm better. I wasn't in the hospital. You know, perspective's important. And I'm happy to be back on my feet. And the last time I was on your show, I was judging cupcakes.
Wow.
We're talking about more serious stuff today,
I guess. Don't blame the cupcakes on this, okay?
Wow.
I would never think of it. Hey, hope you guys have been well.
Yeah, we're good. We actually both got tested. We never did actually have it, the antibody test. But you never know if those tests are accurate or not.
Yep.
Didn't show up for any of us, but question for you: when did you get the coronavirus? How long ago was that?
It was about 3 weeks ago. I started showing symptoms, and I was pretty whacked. I had just about every symptom except for, thankfully, the worst one, which is respiratory problems. Mm. I didn't have any problems breathing, but I was completely exhausted, fatigued. I had night sweats. I was waking up in a swimming pool every morning. The worst shakes, chills I've ever had. You think of the worst you've had and double or triple it in terms of intensity. I had a 102 fever, pretty consistent for a week and a half. And I was in my bedroom. You know, we don't live in a particularly large house. And so I was in a modest bedroom. I would shuffle around the corner to the bathroom a few times a day. But, you know, basically in my bed for 14 days. And, you know, we actually lugged a chair out from another room just so I could sit in a different place besides my bed. Because that gets old after a while, right?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it got better. And, it reinforces in my mind, hey, the virus isn't a joke. You know, I'm 32. I don't have underlying illnesses. And if this could happen to me, I can fully understand and appreciate, you know, if you've got a problem or if you're frail or in a nursing home, you're wiped out.
It's that tough. Huh?
How do you think you got it? Any idea?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, I probably caught it the week before I started showing symptoms, and I only went out a few times, right? I went to the supermarket once, CVS. I probably caught it. So my office and I, we had two rounds of mask distributions to community groups from our office. And we had one the preceding week that I started showing symptoms. And, you know, someone might have touched a surface that I'd then touched. Who knows? But we're all wearing masks, social distancing, and we did everything we were supposed to do. But I probably caught it that day, if I had to guess.
So you may have caught coronavirus while you were doing a mask distribution for coronavirus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. And you were following all the best practices, and still, I think, you know, the issue they talk about is that we touch our faces 20 times a day, right?
That's right.
And
yep.
Inadvertently, that might have been what happened at a mask distribution event.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's, you can't make it up. And look, you know, you try and minimize your chances of getting the virus as close to zero as you can, but I don't think you can ever get to zero, right? You can never be 100% certain there's no way I'm going to catch this. And so we did, like you said, everything we were supposed to do, but, you know, I probably caught it that day.
You know, the last time we talked to you, you were at a house, right?
Oh, he was an assemblyman.
Assemblyman.
Yeah. You got elected to the assembly at age 26, correct?
25,
yeah. But you took office when you were 26, the youngest member of the assembly.
Yep.
That's when we got him on the show,
and that was you're a senator.
Now he's a senator. Actually, you are the you took over Bill Arkansas, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace. Yeah.
Wow. Rest in peace. What a patriot. So congratulations on your promotion to the New York State Senate. And there's been a lot of questions, obviously, and you've lived the situation. But the governor yesterday gave his presser that he does every day and talked about how this Friday is such a key day, right, for the entire state as we potentially move to the next chapter. From your perspective, you represent, and I apologize, I haven't looked up the map here. You're Orange County. In what areas do you represent?
I've got the eastern half of Orange County, North Rockland, and southern Ulster.
Oh, okay. So,
you got a wide range of different
areas.
Right.
So you got different situations going on in each part of that district. So what are your how do you see it, Senator? When we look at this Mid-Hudson region, what do you see happening post May 15th?
Well, look, I mean, it's a diverse region when it comes to the virus's impact, and you alluded to that, right? So Rockland County and Westchester are obviously very different, and they're in the Mid-Hudson region, according to this directive. They're in a very different situation than Sullivan County or Ulster County or Dutchess and Putnam County. Orange has been hit pretty hard as well, not quite as hard as Rockland and Westchester. And so it's hard to treat the region as one when you have that incredible, enormous diversity. But on the same token, I think a good example of what happens when you don't treat this situation regionally or statewide, you look at Georgia. So they've been open for a little while now, or they've been reopened. And immediately, day one, you had 60,000 people and change from other states. On day one, coming into Georgia, patronizing restaurants, getting their hair cut at barbershops, and potentially reinfecting communities in Georgia that say, okay, we're safe now, we're going to reopen. Yeah. I would not be surprised if you see a spike in the virus in Georgia in the coming week or two as a result of all this. So, we have to be careful that, hey, you open one county, but the next county is closed. And the governor's talked about this. I haven't seen eye to eye with the governor. A lot of issues. We're both Democrats. But nevertheless, I think he's handled this issue adeptly outside of the nursing home problem that has existed. He's talked about opening up regionally. I think that's the right approach because of the mobility and reinfection exposure that exists. But look, we haven't hit. He's got seven benchmarks. Each region has got to hit in order to be able to reopen. We're at 5 out of 7 right now. A few days ago, we were at 4 out of 7. Come Friday, we could be at 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 7.
Yeah.
One of the rubrics that we haven't hit yet is 14 straight days of decreasing hospitalizations. We are decreasing, but we're not at 14 days yet. And so in a few days, we might be there. I've said it many times, you can't have the economic recovery until you've got the public health recovery. Mm-hmm. Because if you do start reopening too soon and everyone's jamming into, restaurants and all kinds of places and reinfecting folks, we're back at square one.
Yeah.
And no one wants to live through the last 2 months again.
No.
I certainly don't. You certainly don't. Your listeners don't. And so we do have to time it right.
But again, I would say, though, it's a balancing act where you've got still people that are waiting on their unemployment here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They
yeah.
don't have any money. They can't feed their mm-hmm. family, and they don't have a job, and they're wanting to get back to work so they can put some food on the table.
No doubt about it. And the unemployment problem, the system's collapsed on itself. It's gotten a little better in the last few days. The state's hired literally thousands of people, but this is something that has been a failure in New York and a lot of other states.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you in my office, by far, the number one issue with calls and emails and messages that we get, literally thousands over the past few weeks, has been people calling with unemployment problems.
Yeah.
They can't get a call back from Department of Labor. What's going on with my claim? It's been 8 weeks since I put in my claim. I can't put food on the table. It's been a complete disaster. And so one thing that my office has been doing is with these literally thousands of people reaching out just in my district, we've been able to push along people's claims, flag them at Department of Labor. And so if you've got people listening who are in the Senate district I represent and they've got problems with unemployment, they need to call. But you're right that this is, this is devastation. And you've got, besides even just workers, you've got small businesses.
Yep.
Are they going to be able to reopen?
No,
right?
There's a lot of them that aren't. They're going to stay their doors shut because they can't. Get enough money. They're still waiting on their money from the federal government that hasn't come in yet.
That's right. And it breaks my heart. I live in Cornwall. I walk along Main Street and basically everything is closed. And I don't to your point, not everything's going to reopen. Yeah. And so this is unsustainable. We do need to open sooner rather than later, but we also need to make sure that, you know, we do it safely.
I saw an interesting number the other day on the news about New York City restaurants, that 40% of New York City restaurants may not reopen.
Yeah, well, they're going to be waiting a lot longer than us up here because New York City, that's a whole another situation.
And then you look at the mom-and-pop small restaurants. You know, I think about, yeah, like the Falls Diner in Wappingers. I think about these Greasy Spoon-type places that, you know, they don't have a lot of seating to begin with. They're not in a they're not set up to be doing takeout. And, you know, I wonder about the owners. I wonder about the folks that work at these places. And I hope that they're getting the assistance that they need. Someone that lives in your district, Senator James Skoufis, representing much of Orange County, a piece of Ulster and Rockland. What's the best way to reach your office, James?
So the best way, you know, people can either email or they can call. Email is, you know, straightforward. It's Skoufis, which is Skoufis at nysenate.gov. Or they can call 845-567-1270. My office, you know, the building is physically closed, but my team has been working remotely since the start of all this, and they've been working harder than ever, every day, around the clock, weekends, especially on this unemployment issue.
Did your staff have to quarantine after it was determined that you tested positive?
So not my entire staff was at the office, but a couple of people did take that precaution who were there with me.
And then they were negative? They tested negative at that point?
That's correct.
Wow.
Yep. Even my wife tested negative.
Really?
Wow. Which is pretty remarkable. Yeah.
It's interesting how the virus works. Now, James, all right, so let's say we get the numbers way down. Things start opening up. But the thing I'm still worried about is these businesses being able to catch up. What is the solution? Is it are you going to hit up the federal government? Because obviously New York is broke. But
the solution's money. That's what the solution, you know, as it always, it's solution's money. And to your point, New York State, we're not only broke. The distinction that we have with the federal government is New York State is constitutionally obligated to pass a balanced budget every year. We have to. We don't have a choice. The federal government, they haven't had a balanced budget since the 1990s. If they run out of money, they just print more money.
Yeah.
We can't do that in New York State. And so we are, businesses, workers, the state itself is reliant and desperate for federal relief. And there's talk about another bill perhaps coming in the next week or two. A lot of people are watching that here in New York. But the only way that a business can survive if it's closed for 2 months, and I know they've had a couple of rounds of this PPP program, but the only way that they could survive is if they're getting a subsidy, relief, to say, hey, look, you keep your employees on your payroll. Here's a check to get you through this disaster. We'll see you on the other end. If you're not getting that check, you're done.
You're done.
Yeah.
You really are.
As simple as that. We talked to Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney about this twice.
The bills don't disappear.
He's fighting for this area, as you know, James. And also we're speaking to Congressman Antonio Delgado, who has a bill to help counties and localities receive funding during this crisis.
Yeah.
You know, the question, though, of course, is it going to be enough? That's the question, and it's tough.
More.
It's a tough situation when we don't necessarily see an end, you know, a definitive end to this. The good news is Friday is May 15th.
Yep.
That's going to be potentially a game changer moving forward for this region, and then we'll go from there. But I have to say, it's certainly been a unique opportunity, and we greatly appreciate you taking the time, especially after suffering this horrendous virus, to come on the air with us and express, you know, what you're doing and what you've gone through. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, and thanks for what you're doing in Dutchess, Bill, and appreciate it. And this is not patronizing. What you all are doing in the station right now is more important than ever, helping people take their minds off of what's going on around us. So thanks to all of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank
Greatly
you.
Appreciate
and
it.
We promise when things calm down, James, you come right back in the studio and hanging out.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, I look forward to that.
Scoofus, yep. Don't forget the small people. You know, you started here as an assemblyman.
Are you a senator?
No, I would never.
As
I
a senator, never. You can contact Senator Scoofus's office at 845-567-1270 if you live in his area. If you don't live in his area, I'm sure that his staff can assist you with locating who does represent you. 845-567-1270. Senator James Scoofus, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Be well.